There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast.
Regrettably, yes.
None of us are even introduced yet, so I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, the newsman, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
Yep. Most regrettable.
What y'all know about the Regrettable Podcast? I'm about to learn ya. Let's get it, dude. The Regrettable Podcast. Jay, Tyler, Patrick. All of us
morning.
Sitting here, morning, on this Wednesday morning. How are y'all this morning? I don't know. I never opened it up asking how
I know, right? I was like, whoa, okay.
Nice to you to finally ask.
Yeah.
Doing well. Thank
you. It's been 42 episodes, and you guys feeling good?
Yeah.
I'm all right, I guess.
Good. Mm-hmm. Of course, this Regrettable Podcast brought to you by Laura Lindley, attorney at law. In downtown DeQueen, historic downtown DeQueen, archaic downtown DeQueen.
Antiquated.
Yes. There you go. Yes. Downtown DeQueen. She's got 20 plus years of service.
It's like 24 coming up next year or something like that. 25. It's 25 next year. That's what it is. It's currently 24.
Pretty sure. So halfway through next year, we can say going on three decades.
Right.
Right, going on. That's right, going on three decades of experience. 870-642-4462, a bilingual office licensed in Arkansas and Oklahoma. And if you're listening in, like, you know, California or something, you can still call that number and she'll help you out with what you need, getting you to the right places on where to go.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go.
Give
it's
you a good
Laura
number.
Lindley, attorney at law. And here's another accolade she has. She puts on a darn good Halloween party, my friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big shout out to Laura Lindley and Jay Lindley.
No, I did nothing.
You
so.
Planted a wash tub.
Okay, I did some gardening. You're right.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things.
Son actually did most of the work, right?
He did fill the tub with dirt.
What did you do?
He got grounded.
Yeah. We had a stealing the lotion or something. And
that's
not
a whole
that
other
time.
Thing.
No, this one was not putting his laundry. And then trying to hide it when he didn't fold it up and put it away.
Mm.
And so Laura couldn't find it. Just so happened that day she was going in the room that he hid it in.
You're raising a monster there, Jay.
I know. Yes, serial killer style.
So, Is that a room that nobody normally goes into?
It's Mitchell's old room, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's just closed off. We don't even have heat and air to it anymore. It's just, you know.
Unlucky, man.
Yeah,
it's
unlucky.
Just coincidence that she happened to go in there and find his secret stash of unfolded laundry.
Yeah. Exactly. So grounded. How long are you grounded for?
Just a few days. A
few days.
Okay.
A couple. It was like it was like 2.5 days ultimately, because I'm a soft dad when it comes right down to it.
Right.
Laura went to a conference in the city, or if you will, in Little Rock, and so I just kind of let him have his phone back a little bit before, and then I told him, but I did make him. Fill that tub up with dirt before he could get
nice.
It back.
Yeah.
So that's what made him. Well, I mean, he got it knocked out.
Yeah,
too.
He filled he it with it. Clay by the looks of it.
Well, I did cover it with some you know, potting soil.
Right.
Okay. So
when you ground your kids, they don't go in like the hole.
No. They just lose all screens.
All right.
Yeah,
all
no screens.
That's
no
enough nowadays,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen kids have their phones taken away because they did something wrong, and then they're screaming like an animal afterwards.
I would absolutely ground. I will and do. Not in the sense of ground, but if you do take screens away, as soon as I ground the kids, they want to come hang out with dad and mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what a coincidence.
Yeah, or they want to go outside with us. Hey, dad, you want to go box? Or hey, dad, you want to go roll? Or you know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm getting the benefit.
Would they be allowed to hang out with their friends while grounded?
Negative.
No, okay.
Negative. Not yeah, at school, I mean, you see kids, see your friends, ball practice, whatever. But
no school either.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. No, I would not
I'll
do that.
Did you ever get grounded by our dad, Tyler?
Never. I never lived with him. To like be grounded like that
long enough to get he was the type. He would ground you and he'd be like, 2 weeks you're grounded. And of course this was I didn't have a cell phone, you know. I don't know what that you can't go like play baseball with your friends or whatever. And but it never lasted more than 10 minutes,
right?
I think, you know, he was
nice.
You talk about soft dad, you know, he was like exceptionally hard with the punishment at the beginning, and then he like would sit back, see the error of his ways 5 or 10 minutes later, and then come back and he'd like sit down on the bed with you and be like, you're not grounded anymore. Yeah, yeah. But just please don't do that again.
Right,
like,
right.
I think I might have gone through something like that. Yeah.
My dad was completely opposite. He was like, pulled the belt off, beat you with it, and then you were grounded. No, my mom grounded you after that. No, actually, really, in reality, if you got a whipping with the belt, you did not get grounded because that was your punishment. It was over.
Right. Yeah.
Or if you chose, sometimes you got to choose. It was depending on the severity.
You choose the ball or the sword.
Yeah, mom would, because mom was the grounder, dad was the beater. You know what I mean? So he'd whip you with a belt. Mom would just say, okay, you're grounded for however long she deemed.
I like having options when it comes to punishment, like states that allow you to choose which form of death penalty you're going to submit to. I like that. At least give a guy his last thing he gets to do how he's going to die.
What would you take?
Firing squad, definitely.
Nice. Yes. I'd love it.
Because there's no... You ever seen? I have, unfortunately, but I've seen a video of like botched electrocutions.
Oh yeah,
man, it's bad, dude. That looks rough. Also seen videos of botched lethal injections. Does not look good either.
Ooh.
A firing squad. You got seven guys lined up. Six of them have live rounds. They always put the blank in one of the rifles, so it allows maybe the more conscientious shooter to go home at night and be like, my gun had the blank in it.
Right.
I did not fire.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Let you sleep at night. But I mean, six out of seven bullets enter your heart, you're dead. All right. It's instantaneous. Right. You're dead. You know?
Got you.
Yeah. You don't feel nothing.
I guess I would choose that stale cracker dude. Chopping my head like a rabbit. Did you guys see that one?
Okay. No.
He like shows... He shows how he kills his rabbits, and he's like, with this one hand you yank up, and this other hand you do like a James Bond chop onto the back of the neck, and it's instantaneous. There's no
okay.
So you take the guillotine basically if you had to take actual ways.
I don't know if I could do the guillotine. I don't know anything with like a big lead up. Got to be like, you know, you're naked, you're being strung through the crowd.
That's
everybody's
true.
Yelling and spitting at you and putting throwing rotten fruit at you, and then you got put up there, everything red to you, you know, and then
whoosh,
I don't want to think of
modern day, but old usages, old death penalty or old death styles, I guess,
right?
More.
Yeah, I don't know how I would choose it. I mean, what are the options here?
Yeah.
Can I get drawn and quartered still? Is that still an option?
I don't think so.
But, like, you know, is that on the list?
Hanging,
is there a checklist?
You know,
is hung by the neck until you're dead?
Yeah. Well, that one's kind of a
No, I wouldn't want that one either.
No.
Drowned? Forcibly drowned?
Mm-mm.
That'd be bad.
Burned at the stake?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Iron bull?
Nah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. Firing squad, like I said, there's very little, you know, you're going to have they don't just let anybody go out there. It's I've like handled a BB gun at one point.
Right.
I'm like expert marksman.
Yep.
Iron bull is the one where you sit in it and they heat it up from, and you're inside and they heat it up from the outside.
Yeah,
right?
That
seems like the worst one.
What would be worse, sitting in it when it's not heated up and then it heats up, or like they're just like telling you to climb into it and it's already heated?
Yeah, it's glowing red.
Ooh, yeah. Like, so you got to like, like you got to climb into it while it's like that. Or like, I think if you were to sit in it and then it heats up, you'd be able to like, you know, kill yourself in some way. Right. Or like, you know, just to pass
bang
out
your head against the side. Till you knock
pass
yourself
out.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it would be worse to climb into an already heated one.
Heated
up.
You'd probably go into shock very quickly, though.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
yeah, true.
Yeah.
So, ouch. None of them, if possible. I don't know.
Just avoid that in general situation.
Okay.
That's why I lead a life of lawfulness.
Non-death penalty life?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I live I identify as a non-death penalty kind of person.
Oh, okay.
I'm totally fine with the death penalty for others, people.
Gotcha.
Yes.
But not for me.
Not for me.
Exactly.
It's just not for me. It's a personal decision.
Right. I identify as a poly death penalty person, to where like I identify basically as a person who's already been through the death penalty.
Okay.
But doesn't.
You've had some rough relationships,
again.
Haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But no death penalty at the Lindley Extrava Festa Eat-a-thon. That was a ton of fun. I was just going to say,
my religion says I don't believe in the death penalty.
Oh, okay. There you go. There
just
you
don't
go.
Believe in it at all. You know what I'm saying?
No eye for an eye.
It doesn't happen if you don't believe in it.
Right, right.
Not
the
that
religion
I don't
wouldn't have happened if
exactly.
it wasn't for the death penalty.
Right.
No, not my real religion.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
saying my religion is there's
identity.
No such thing as a death penalty.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun. There was a lot of good Halloween themed foods
right
there. Oh, it was a great time.
I came in. I was like, something smells really good. And your wife was like, Laura, your wife. Sorry, let me address her by her proper pronouns, since she's the one who makes this possible.
Your property.
Yeah. She's like, well, I'm just fixing up some intestines, and I was like, ugh, like beef tripe soup, I'm like menudo. Ooh. What are we having right here? And no, it was brilliant. You take I guess it was cinnamon rolls, stretch them out, you know, and then
still got a little curve here and there, but
yeah. Cover them like in some red.
Like that
frosting
icy?
Or something. Icing. Yeah. And it looked like a big plate of intestines. It was delicious.
It was.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
And then the mummies.
And a frog in my throat. I love it.
It's like a phlegm bubble you're creating there, bro.
Yeah, get that frog out your mouth, man.
Come I on. Stepped on one earlier.
Yeah.
Heard
I
don't that know.
Nobody heard that.
I put that frog on a cracker, dude. Yeah.
Now, speaking of that guy, that's why the YouTube videos that I've been watching recently, like the algorithm is now all off whack.
Yeah.
My YouTube algorithm used to be like, oh, man, my YouTube was the best. You could go on it. You could find all kinds of stuff. Everything recommended, like
white
that home
supremacist
page.
Videos.
Exactly.
And stuff.
Yeah, all the stuff that I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's thrown off because I've watched a few trendy things, and now it's stuff that I would never watch in a billion years. Mm. So it's all out of whack. But that stale cracker guy, I don't know how I watched it. We brought it up, 10 podcasts ago about how that was the first TikTok video I guess I've ever watched that I actually enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
It's given me hope as far as social media goes, this guy here. Like, I hope to steal a comment from YouTube. I hope that he breaks the YouTube algorithm with his charisma and his cooking skills.
There you go.
Makes me really feel bad that I haven't had any good Cajun cooking at all, pretty much at all.
Well,
you've
lived like
gumbo
in Canada. That's like the antithesis of Cajun cooking.
True.
Is Canada.
True.
Know?
Their Cajun cooking, you sprinkle a little Old Bay on some chicken parts, and there you go.
You have a Cajun food served to you by a guy from Dog River, Saskatchewan.
It's
authentic Cajun
food, eh?
Yeah, he says couillon. He says couillon.
Yeah, couillon.
Couillon.
It's instead of Cajun seasoning, we use maple syrup.
Instead of eating it, just throw it right into the trash can.
That's right. But there's what am I even talking about?
Well, I got a question for you about the YouTube. Is it dying? Is it dying currently? A lot of people ask the new algorithm. You talked about the new algorithm, and they also talked about the new terms of service they put out, which basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that they can put an ad on and make money off of anything on there. There used to be like a portions of maybe the music, or maybe they couldn't cut into the music as much as they can now. I don't know. I didn't read deep enough. But again, basically paraphrase, they can make money off of you any way, how way they possibly deem fit via the content you put on their YouTube. So
right.
The question is, it was already kind of lots of YouTube's channels, just the viewers are starting to fall off. Some say TikTok is causing that. People are going to shorter videos and staying there.
Yeah.
But is it? What is it? What do you think?
I don't like this whole content thing.
Yeah.
I don't care about the person behind the uploading, because that's not what YouTube was back in the day. Like, you would upload stuff and be like, here's me, you know, eating 500 saltine crackers as quick as I can or something, and without any plan to make any money. You know, you can watch beheadings. You can watch
the
good old days of YouTube, where
car accident videos.
Right. Nobody was worried about as a content creator, what's my terms of service? Shut up and upload the video of jumping into a cold lake or something. I don't know, whatever it was.
Yeah, and it seems like, to your point, Jay, is that a lot of the videos that I see as far as like YouTube shorts or whatever that they kind of present to you, they're all TikTok videos.
Yeah, they are.
That are then put on YouTube afterwards.
Exactly.
You know?
It's crazy.
And I think that YouTube's also like kind of changed as far as its terms of service. You can't make money off YouTube like you once did.
Oh,
I know there's a TikTok going viral right now, but a woman who has about 200,000 subscribers on Facebook, and she literally earns, like, she showed her earnings from it. I mean, this is like the analytics from YouTube. She's making like $137 a month with 200,000 subscribers. I mean, that's chump change.
On
you
YouTube?
Know. On YouTube.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I can't juxtapose that with what you might make off TikTok, but being a newer platform, a more trendy platform right now, I feel like it's probably 200,000 subscribers. You're probably going to make a pretty good chunk of change, you know, every month.
Well, and with TikTok, though, like you said, with YouTube, one video you uploaded could carry your channel for weeks, sometimes even a month before you put something else on. With TikTok, you're putting 5-6 TikToks out a day.
A day, right.
And you have to continue that, or your 200,000 subscribers are going to go watch somebody else. They're not going to continue to watch.
It's very fleeting.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's content creation and all this. It's just gone down the route. What I don't
content really.
Of course, of course it is. There's no content. There's no physical. There's no actual substance to it.
It's as vapid as possible. It could be. I mean, it's like a bunch of hot white chicks dancing terribly. Is what TikTok is. That's how you make a lot of money on it. You
gotta keep that content up. Stressing out about your content, like what next? You know, pussy song you're gonna dance to or whatever it is. Ugh. And then YouTube, like, again, it's just, I mean, I try and watch a few DIY videos, and it's just insane. It's insane. Something that literally takes 2 minutes to do is a 30-minute video.
Yes. Right.
And of just expounded and expanded into every fifth degree, and it's all like and subscribe, and it's stupid clickbait. Like, I hate it where it's gone. You know, you used to just be able to, like, you know, watch a how to change your spark plug or something like that, and... You can't even do that now. You have to sift through 500 videos to find the right one.
Yeah. Well, you know? And people are more interested about the guy who's telling you how to change your spark plugs.
I love this guy.
I think I was telling you last night about that Aristotle, or sorry, it was Socrates who his famous line, one of his famous lines from back in the day, you know, was that, like, advanced societies will discuss ideas, like simple, silly societies will discuss personalities. Now we live in a society where we only discuss ideas if they're presented by personalities. I mean, you know, you don't. Yeah, sure. It'd be great to see a video where they change you 1, 2, 3. It'd show you 1, 2, 3 how to change the spark plugs. But that's not gonna go. Now you got to have a guy with, like, fake hillbilly teeth. You know, got a whole antic going on.
Right.
Where that just distracts from the very, like, topic you're looking for. But hey, I need to be entertained while I'm trying to be informed.
That's the most sad thing, because I'll watch some, and I only watch a DIY video or an instructional video on something I plan on doing or want to learn about to do in the future, or blah blah blah. And it's always like the top comment is like, I don't even own a car, but I just like watching your videos. Like, how sad that this guy bouncing around with fake hillbilly teeth, you know, is entertaining to you.
And I can even say less sad that the guy's entertained by this, even though he doesn't own a car. Besides, the are more sad to me is the ones that go on and comment, oh, have a car, but you suck.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a return to classic YouTube, though. That's still going on. That's nothing new.
Good point.
And you have, like, professional YouTube commentators. Like, I see them getting called out on YouTube comments all the time. It's like, I see you post on everything. What are you doing? Like, well, now you've just spent the effort, like, telling this guy that he's posting on every video that you've seen. For dude, maybe get off YouTube for a little bit. All right, like if that's what that's what's like.
Wait, the dude, the commenter, or the commenter on the commenter?
The commenter on the commenter.
Yeah.
So at least the commenter is doing something. Yeah. You know, like, he's going, and it's usually like, I guess they're professional YouTube commentators, and they generally have, like, a funny. I mean, they have a little. You know, a witty quote or a witty thing that they throw out there, and then you've got all the hate that they get from it. All of you suck is what I say, you know. And
there's so many shows that I've watched in the past, like trolls and whatnot, can destroy somebody who isn't in tune with how the way the internet works now.
Right.
You know, like, we talked a little bit about it on the radio show. The best example is that Anthony Cumia from the Opie and Anthony show. When he got fired, he went and started his own podcast and his own podcast network and stuff. And it was going well for a little bit, but then he started really, like, focusing on people trolling him. And then that's when, like, when the internet finds out there's somebody you control, and then they actually, like, respond to it and get affected by it. Like, people that don't even know you will hop in that. So they just started, and it became this vicious cycle where he now has whittled his audience down to, like, 100 people
trolls.
Or something, like, trolls. And, pretty much. And, like, and I watched this whole video this guy documented on all of it, and he's, like, showing screenshots of an obvious troll account. That's got, like, it was made today, no follows or whatever, trolling him about something, and then he sends them a private message saying something like, well, I got cash and can get any girl, and like, I got, you know, all some left good on this life, like, to a troll account. Oh, it looks so bad. And then that gets posted.
Yes.
Oh,
wow.
And then screenshot of that's posted. Now it's like, it's blood in the water.
Yeah.
And it's insane, man.
To the point where all he's got is sharks around him at that point.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Wow.
And then you just got to like ignore him. You cannot continue on. I wish we were big enough to get trolled.
Right.
Yeah. So that we could, I think we would be able to handle it very well. You know, I invite insults and whatnot. Yes. You know, you got trolled on one of your videos.
Yeah.
One of your Lego videos where the dude was like, you know, what does he say?
Yeah, he was like, hey, the 1830s are calling and they want your facial hair back.
Right. And like, you laughed and rolled on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I was like, that's a great comment, dude. That's funny. Yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
send him a private message saying, I bang girls.
Right. Right. Well, at some point, then you're taking your focus off your like true audience.
Yes.
And you're, and it's entirely being directed at these trolls, which then you're, which is like 0.001% of yeah. your, you know, it's just somebody looking for some, just having fun is really right. like a troll, man. You can have a lot of fun as one, I suspect.
Right.
I've never been one, but I think we all have it in us probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you're taking that other 99.999% of your attention and putting it towards that troll, and yeah. you're going to lose your audience in the process of it, because they're like, well, that's not me. I mean,
right.
who's saying this stuff? And then they see like, ah, man. Yeah. They see the screenshots of the DM that Anthony sends this guy, you know, and like, man, this guy is shittier than I thought he
yeah,
was. So.
Yeah. And then you roll on. Now you evacuate because you're not a troll.
Right.
And all he's doing is focusing on the trolls. It's crazy. Another one is the Joe Budden podcast, which Joe Budden's an insane individual to begin with. He's a classic bridge burner. He never was really able to get anywhere in hip hop. So he started a very successful podcast, had a couple of co-hosts on there to level him out a little bit. And then like just 5 months ago or something, everything exploded. They weren't getting paid what they ought to have been or something. And he fired both of them for bringing it up and all this. And now it's him alone sitting there raving like a lunatic. And you'd go and watch you'd see the view count from the podcast from a year ago. They were like millions. And now he's like, the latest one is like 35,000 or something. Mm-hmm. Like, and now he's like focusing on trolls and haters and all this stuff. And it's, you know, you cannot betray your audience like that, or else you are going to get torn to pieces. And a big one is Reddit, because a Reddit community will always rally around like a singular podcast of some kind. Yeah. It'll be just for that. And it might start as a genuine love place, but Reddit is the home of trolls. So if you start getting a lot of trolls, they turn the subreddit into something else completely. You know, like I remember when I first found the Opie and Anthony subreddit, I was like, cool, like maybe just a bunch of people like the show sharing clips. And I go on, I'm like, what is going on here? Like, they hate these guys, you know? Well, like, why do you create a subreddit to, like, hate on the thing for, you know? And that's when I started looking into it and finding out that, you know, you can just betray an entire audience like that. And now all you have left, only people watching your stuff is people waiting to comment about how shitty you are or whatever else. So it's interesting. I think it's an old mentality, maybe. Not sure how the internet works, thinking every negative comment is from an actual person.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but to go back to the Steel Cracker guy, though, I've been trying to recommend him to some people, and maybe especially like a little older folks who aren't understanding social media. Not to say that they should understand it, but to at least get a concept of it. And to me, this guy is great, because he's not going to teach you how to cook Cajun food. Like, it's, he don't tell you what temperature to set. The videos are fast enough. You're not going to actually learn how to cook.
Right.
You're just going to see a genuine guy in action. And it's like, to me, it's just an example, man. It's just it's nice to see a real person on social media, because I think what we've seen with like this whole Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie thing, and so many incidences of social media influencers actually turning out to be terrible people, mm-hmm. is that these are not real people. And we see this guy, and he seems pretty real. It's like you and I were kind of talking about it the other night, Tyler, is that it seems like his like 16-year-old daughter's, you know, filming the whole thing. He seems awkward on camera sometimes. He maybe seems a little nervous at times, right. You know, about the whole thing. I feel like he always like slams a beer during a show. I think he's just doing that just to help keep his confidence levels going. Right. He's just extremely genuine, which has almost seemed like social media is the exact opposite of that. Or these influencers, these content producers.
Right.
It's all about being as disingenuous as possible.
Yeah,
And this guy's real, man. And
I'm just waiting to find out Stale Cracker is a pedophile.
Yeah,
or
right, like right. He's got like numerous like no contact orders filed.
Right, right. Bench warrants out for his arrest for sexual misconduct. It's happening. Trust me.
That's funny.
Yeah, but, I mean, you dig enough in anybody's past, you're going to find skeletons.
Well, man, Dog the Bounty Hunter digging pretty hard for Brian Laundry, man. Yeah. He says he's not going to be giving up the search. He's now going from Florida to Colorado. That's how he's not giving up the search. He's just going to jump halfway across the country to the next place on like 4,000 undisclosed leads. He's like, I've got 4,000 leads.
Yeah, great.
That means zero leads.
Absolutely. That means just more innocent people having their doors kicked in.
Yeah.
Because they happen to look like this guy, Brian Laundry, who, if you're like 20 something years old, 50% chance you look exactly like he does.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and I mean, it sounds like a joke, but no, seriously, there was a case the other day of some hiker that was doing the Appalachian Trail. He stopped in at a hotel along the Appalachian Trail somewhere and had his doors kicked in by the FBI because somebody reported, like, Brian Laundry staying in this place. Totally innocent guy.
Gosh.
Just happened. Like I said, if you're a Gen Zer, there's a 50% chance you look exactly like that guy.
He's just generic. He's like the guy that you pull up on an RPG game and it's the first guy that you don't even mess with the character.
You don't change the face.
Yeah. He just looks so average. But that is interesting. Didn't Dog find like a crushed Mountain Dew can or something like that and went off that?
Oh, yeah. The internet was on fire with that. So it was like a Monster Energy drink can.
Yeah,
he found. He's like, obviously, Brian Laundry's been hanging around here. And they had tied that because, of course, people have been protesting in front of this guy's parents' house.
Nice.
You know, since this lady came missing. And somebody took a picture of Laundry's mom exiting her vehicle, walking into the house, and she had like a handbag with like what looked like Monster Energy drink. Or it was just drinks, canned drinks inside of it. And so
boom.
Yeah, absolutely. The parents have been going out into the woods and stashing Monster Energy drinks for this dude to drink when nobody's looking. There was another one recently. Drones have been hovering over the parents' house. Like, protesters have been operating drones over their house to capture any. And one of them's claiming that you can see a hand come out of one of the garden beds that Brian Laundry's parents have in their backyard, and says that there's a bunker underneath the garden bed. And that he's hiding in there. Because, of course, if you're going to make a bunker, you're not going to put a roof on it. It's just going to be loose garden soil on top that you can stick your hand through any time to grab that Monster Energy drink and then drag it back into the bunker.
Oh, my
you
gosh.
Know,
should be illegal, man.
You know, you would think that some people were like, well, we might see the best of the internet come out in the whole investigation into Petito's murder. We've seen just the stupidness.
Yeah.
Not the worst, necessarily, just how stupid people are.
Yeah.
And the police, all the authorities involved in this whole thing, man, they're just as stupid because they were like, anybody who knows anything, let us know. And everybody on IG right now, everybody on YouTube, anybody, their 300,000 subscribers, like, all think they know exactly what happened.
Right.
Yeah. And now the departments are inundated, so they're kicking down the doors in hotel rooms to arrest innocent people. I mean, the search for this dude, no telling how much it's cost. If you see the pictures, I mean, there's hundreds of law enforcement officers, you know, looking for this guy. I mean, the cost must be in the six digits at least, if not going into the millions of dollars at this point to look for this guy.
And just
leave the shit alone, okay? He'll turn up. He's either dead, all right? He's dead, or he's going to turn up at some point.
Right.
It's the same as when small town sheriffs and police departments who chase every suspect that flees from them, it's eventually, it's not worth the cost. Like, sometimes, right. Man, just chill back. You know who it is. All right, you're going to find him at his mama's place. You're going to find him at his girl's place. You're going to find him somewhere. You don't need to get him right then and there. Okay?
Right, right.
He's going to turn up.
He's going to turn up.
Or he's dead, and then all the work's been done already.
Right.
It's just all these people on social media who are desperate for an answer, because these are the people who they idolized in their lives, were these social media influencers who lived out of a van for a couple of months.
Yeah.
That's the life we
that's
want.
That's what we
right?
keep hearing. He's a survival expert.
No, he's not.
I kept hearing that. Like, he can live out in the Appalachians, you know, or something like that. Like, nah, without a van.
Yeah, right.
Without electricity in a van.
Yeah. I mean, this dude's going to eat like a bad mushroom at one point or something, and somebody's just going to find his corpse, his half-rotten corpse off the trail.
Oh, there he died of stupidity.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so dog has sustained an ankle injury.
Oh, yes, he had to leave the search for that, right?
Yeah. And so when he's back at 100%, he's now following the leads to Colorado. Because that's where
marijuana is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I don't know. People are getting crazy. And dog looks rough, man. He looks old and just guff and rough. And they're like, he's putting in 20-hour days in the search for Brian Laundrie.
No, he's not. Yeah. He's just desperate for relevancy
again.
And he's got a lot of lawsuits being filed against him and stuff for things that he's had a lot of, you know, domestic issues and stuff come up. So this is like, he's hoping like this is his one last chance to do something with his life
if
before
this don't
he
work
dies
out,
in obscurity.
Yeah. He might die searching for Brian Laundrie, and that'll be the most significant thing he's ever done.
Absolutely.
Is dying.
That would be sad for him.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious for us.
Good point.
Then you got John Walsh, same thing, just desperate, trying to claw his way back into some realm of relevancy, you know, and coming out. He's doing like special after special on Gabby Petito. Mm-hmm. When it's this point, like, nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, it's all moved on over one week. And
yeah, the audience
cares.
You're dealing with has an attention span of like 15 seconds. Okay. Yeah, they're like, oh no, Gabby Petito's missing until they see the next TikTok video. And they're like, oh.
Stale Cracker put out a new one.
Yeah. Did you see that dance?
Exactly. And then, I don't know, man. If you're like, I don't understand why it's this particular person. I mean, were they that influential? What they have? Like millions and millions of.
I guess
views and subscribers or something.
Yeah, I think something like 300,000 subscribers.
Oh, okay, but now way more after went missing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
She kidnapped herself, man.
Yeah, came into some information. Okay,
yeah.
But you see,
so what happened with her? They just found her dead body out in the woods or something.
Yeah, and the autopsy determined that she did die from strangulation.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it's like, it's kind of like when you had the whole Russia investigation into Trump. It's like, I'm not going to say Laundrie didn't do it. He's got to be the lead suspect at this point,
right.
You know. But, you know, did Trump collude with Russia in the 2016 election? No, he didn't. He absolutely did not. But did it look like he did? Yes, it certainly did. He certainly acted like if this was like the playbook of how to look guilty.
Right.
He followed every rule. And that's exactly what Laundrie is doing here.
Right.
You know,
he definitely didn't collude with Russia.
Nah,
like not his advisors or nobody.
I don't think.
The whole thing just seems stupid. It looks like a lot of stupidity.
Like I said, don't never credit conspiracy for something that's more easily explained by ineptitude or stupidity.
Right. But, like, I mean, Watergate was stupid, right? There was a lot of stupid things that happened.
There's
and
a
that
lot
was
more
a conspiracy.
Foresight into that, I think.
Right. But, I mean, I know John Oliver has called it stupid Watergate. That's what he calls the whole Trump and Russia collusion. And, like, I guess I've watched a bunch on it where it seems like, you know, they were just doing their best to make sure that Trump won. You know, like let's say there's a Russian troll farm that sends out a ton of misinformation and almost all of it's in Trump's favor. How is that not like at least the slightest thing to just it might be just another drop in the pool on tipping the scales for Trump during the election, you know? I don't think it's a grand conspiracy, but I definitely think something was going on, and they were just dumb about it.
I feel like they were more passive about it. They're just like, well, let's just let Russia do their thing, you know?
Yeah.
Which Russia, they wanted Trump to be president, not because his policies would be pro Russia necessarily. And honestly, if that's what they were looking for, they did a really bad job, because honestly, most of the previous past presidents had done a lot to try to build stronger relations with mm-hmm. Russia, despite some of the things that Trump said. Every policy action that was taken during his administration, sanctions, you know, no flights on Russian individuals, things like that, was very anti-Russian.
Right.
It was one of those things. And Russia also wanted America to think it was helping Trump.
Right.
It was colluding. It was very much in Russia's favor to have the American people think that Trump was in collusion with Russia, because right. it just hurts doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes American democracy, which has been a goal for many nations across the world, that makes it look like it's not so good, like it's a broken philosophy.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know,
like so getting Trump elected would hurt America in some way and make Russia not look as bad.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Spotlight off of the dirty Russia.
Right. Because, I mean, you're getting somebody who's never been a politician before right. into the nation's highest office. Yeah. There's going to be some rough edges to it, obviously. And I'm just being as like neutral and softball-y as I can now. All right. So
we're attributing that to Brian Laundrie.
Yeah,
not say like the easiest route is that he strangled his girlfriend and left for the woods.
Yes.
Which, how many times has that happened? I can't. Probably countless.
Yeah, right.
You know, this guy is not. This is not a new case. Nothing special. They just happen to have a phone shoved in their face most of their life.
Right.
So that's essentially.
And if he did not strangle his girlfriend, man, he's got a hell of a case. Like if he just happens to come out of the woods, you know, got a hell of a job to convince everybody
got
at
lost.
This point.
True.
So yeah.
Yeah.
But didn't he come home and then run away?
Right.
Yeah. He came home from the woods and was like, I don't know what happened to her. And then when her body found, he disappeared.
Yeah, and like her family didn't even like report her missing. They hadn't heard from her like in 11 days and then reported her missing or something. So it's like, I don't think nobody liked her. You know? Is what I like, and especially not her family, you That's know. Funny.
She was freaking out on him because of her OCD or something like that.
Yeah. His feet were dirty.
His feet were dirty.
Of course, he looks like he looked like a dirty feet kind of
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not OCD, by the way. I'm sorry, it's my OCD acting up. I don't like looking at dirty feet. Like,
yeah, nobody does.
No, no. You're weird if you like the dirty feet.
Exactly.
That's where the
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's OCD where you're like, I've got to have my feet dirty before I turn the lights off.
32 times.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm That's not right. even convinced that OCD is a real thing, that you're just like a weird asshole.
Yeah.
You know? And
no, the real.
Oh, I've seen.
Oh, yeah. You've doubt about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it happens. People are weird, or sometimes you just want attention. That's why I've told you before. Like, the only way you could, like, prove OCD to me is if you, like, filmed somebody for, like, a year of their lives
Without
them knowing it, absolutely. That's the kicker. And if they literally like flick the light switch 7 times every time before they leave their house or whatever,
then it's real.
Because they're only doing. It's like if a tree falls in a forest. Do you know? You don't.
Yeah.
You know, it probably didn't. Okay.
They're acting all weird with company at home, and then the door shuts, and they're just like
totally normal.
Da, da, da,
yeah.
Da.
Yeah.
Totally
absolutely.
Normal.
Now people crave attention. That's again. That's what social media is about. You got a lot of people that are desperate for attention, and that's what they do.
Yep. There's been a lot of things that Patrick has kind of like ruined for me a little bit, like in a good way, and made me and then it was like dominoes where I just started questioning a lot of different stuff that I just stupidly believed in, like lucid dreaming. I was lucid dream, man. I want a lucid dream. I want to figure out how I can do that and this and that.
What's that exactly?
That's where
dream?
You can control yourself in the dream
gotcha.
And control the dream
cool.
and everything.
That'd be
cool, yeah. So I've read about it forever now and have thought I wanted to do it. And I bring it up to Patrick and I'm like, yeah, you could do this. He's like, uh-huh. You know, and like, how do you know it's real? And
that's
I'm like,
a bunch of lies.
Because people on the internet said they could lucid dream.
I've never been true. I've been able to control some things in a dream, but I've never been able to control my entire dreams. And
no.
I'm dreaming. And
yeah.
Nah,
I can fly.
I've never been able to do that.
I can fly.
Yeah.
And then I want to fight ninjas or like,
right.
you know, and that's
right.
the way people describe these elaborate dreams online and stuff. And then Patrick's just like, I mean, their life sucks so bad that they got to have some avenue to be like, I'm better. You know,
right.
I can lucid dream. All right.
There's not a whole lot of things in our lives we have control of. And dreams are like the most subjective thing out there. So
true.
So that's the one thing you can pretend to have control over, and nobody can really at the end of the day argue with you about it.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not, I don't want to take lucid dreaming away from people, but hey, I'm going to call bullshit on it. I know you're lying.
I love it.
There's no way you could ever confirm it.
No, I lucid dream. Like,
yeah. Well, right. You were dreaming. Sorry, buddy. So we don't know. You were asleep.
You were dreaming that you were lucid dreaming, yeah. My friend.
Right.
And that's your dream, you better wake up.
Yeah. There's not these, like, easily identifiable, like, trends or things in people's life. People are like, no, I have OCD.
Right.
No, you probably don't. Like I said, you're just a weird f***er, all right? And man, we're all weird in our own ways or whatever. That's fine. It's just like, you know, like a peacock, it doesn't give birth, like it lays an egg and then the egg hatches and it's a turkey inside. It doesn't just happen. There's degrees, man. There's spectrums, okay, things rest on. And it's not just hard one thing or the other.
Like the GameStop kid we said a couple days, like how do you know that kid's not just a product of how you raise them?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm sorry, he has autism. Like, I mean, does he though? Like how long has he been going on with this Switch and these games and this, and like, did you ever spank his ass?
Right.
Like, cause again, when she I think it was just cause she was in front of people, she tried to like discipline him and be like, no, come here. And he was like, bitch, you never said that to me ever once before.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like he was like, I don't, just totally ignored it and went the other way. And she's like, oh, you know, snatch that kid up, man.
I mean, unless it's certain things like, let's say, Down syndrome, where you're born with an extra chromosome, that's going to mess up. Like, you're talking about the foundation of existence right there is your DNA.
Right.
You know, if that's all out of whack, then there's no arguing about that scientifically. But you got all your chromosomes, you know, and everything else. You know, you're born with the right number of limbs and legs. Man, you know, you'll a normal person.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to be different than other people. It doesn't mean, you know, you have OCD or whatever.
Right.
Again, a lot of these labels are just designed to sell you pills and medication and to give psychologists a job.
Right, right. I'm kind of with that, to be honest. I don't know, like, I don't know, some school shooters or this and that. Oh, well, he had autism or he was had Asperger's and this and that. And it's like, well, I mean, what about the raising? Does that ever get into question?
He has to play into it.
Why is it that like it's new now? Like, why is it all of a sudden this crazy thing? Because like, oh, well, I don't know, Jay, I mean, you're just slightly older, right?
Right. When no, I'm a lot older than you guys. Yeah.
When you were going to school, was it like Asperger's and autism?
Absolutely.
Like, did you even hear those? Or
I heard about ADHD because I was diagnosed with it.
Right, right.
Given a pill, which focused me a little better, and I could do better in school. So I believed them. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
That may have been the case. Since then, I've found ways that I can, you know, take notes, and I don't have to take medicine.
Right.
So, you know, there's ways but it's easier it was easier for them to diagnose me, give me medicine that'd do the trick,
right,
than to teach me a different way. But I could have learned in school the way my brain works, so I need to do it this way. I can't learn this way, but I can learn this way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
and that's I think another perfect is that, like, do ADD and ADHD exist on a spectrum? Maybe, like, on some certain, you know, rainbow of how you are as a person.
Yeah,
yes, maybe maybe the meter is going one way or another. But are those things clinically diagnosable? I'm skeptical of that. It's like you said, people's brains just work a little different. You know, man, people are different than the next one.
That's like, instead of ADHD, you're just like an energetic kid who isn't stimulated or challenged in any way.
Right.
And it's like,
maybe you're more a visual learner than you are,
right.
You know, an auditory learner or whatever.
And that could have been very much my case.
Right.
Like I said, because Ritalin doesn't always work for some, but but a 7-Up works. Or a Mountain Dew. You know what I mean? Seriously.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can give a kid a Mountain Dew and they're like, they're a zombie.
Totally.
Because their body reacts differently.
Right.
It doesn't mean they're Asperger's or all that stuff, like you said, but their body reacts differently to it. So it's definitely a situation where we learned about it, whatever it was that was causing it, whether it's ADHD or, you know, like you said, I like where you're coming at from it. You're saying, could it exist? Sure. Is it just part of everybody? I mean, does everybody have a level of 1 to 100 on ADHD scale? So we all have ADHD, but is yours 1 or 100? Right. You don't know, or 1 or 10. Mine's 9. Yours is 3.
Right.
You know, yours is 1 or whatever.
Things like, you know, you can, you like, maybe you're in the zone and zen when you're like working with your hands on a car, but sitting in a classroom,
you're like moving around.
Can't do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That type of thing.
That's what and I think, like, it is too. I agree with that.
The Sandy Hook shooter, he was like, that was big. Like, it was Asperger's. Okay. There we go. We know what it was then. Like, do you not
see?
Now we
got to blame genetics
For
it. Something that's, again, trying to, now we're trying to blame something that's totally beyond our control.
Right. Do you sift through the stuff and figure out, like, well, was he an only kid? Like, did you ever let him play with kids?
Right.
I mean, like, it was a social
did
dark.
Did you discipline him?
Yeah, did you? I mean, exactly. Like,
that's, I mean, I am a big believer in discipline, and you, the parent, can choose the discipline. Obviously, if one is not working, though, don't continue to use it. You know, if a 3-minute timeout, if the kid's coming out of that 3-minute timeout screaming at you and calling you names,
right,
you probably better not use the 3-minute timeout
anymore.
You know what I'm saying?
Take a different tactic.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, did Asperger's and autism exist as peasants?
You were just burned at the stake because you're crazy. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, how about in, like, the wild North America, like the Pacific Northwest?
Right.
You know, were any of those, like, really autistic people that were coming? They're like, I don't know, I just don't have social skills.
I don't know. They just died.
Because they probably lived in the ones that were on let's call it non-functional or whatever. The ones they were probably cast out as youth or were killed. Because could they were seen as different.
50% of kids didn't make
it. Yeah, I mean, there you go.
Past childhood anyways.
Good point,
right.
So. They were worrying about eating, not worrying about Asperger's.
That's right.
They were worrying about burgers off the cow, not burgers from the, you know.
And that's not to say it isn't a real problem today, but, like, it's weird that you have to diagnose this thing. That's society.
Right.
And that's society. In our society, we don't have to worry about hunting and chasing down a food to eat.
Right.
So now it's like a whole condition based on, like, you take the same exact child in a different timeline or something, or rebuild them and then cast them into a society where it's like a village, something where he's got to hunt to survive and learn and all that. The kid probably does fine.
Right.
So I don't know.
I mean, so much of that is just like natural inputs, right? If you were to take a kid born in the United States, you know, let's say just a Caucasian kid with blue eyes and blonde hair, or any kid born in the United States to American parents, and put them and drop them as an infant, drop them off in China, they will grow up speaking fluent Mandarin.
Right.
There's nothing natural input in their head that this is how they're. Genetics have so much control over so many things.
Right. Yeah.
But when it comes to things like that, like what kind of person, what your traits and natural talents going to be, a lot of that is just going to come off the way you're raised.
Right.
You know?
Yep. I had a friend, and he had an autistic kid. He also tried telling me that we're all autistic. Like, if you're artistic, you're autistic. That's what he used to say and stuff like that. I was like, nah, I'm not autistic. And he's like, I guarantee you are.
You're on the spectrum.
Yeah, you're on the spectrum. And
we all are.
Everybody is. Yeah, it's like a human. We're on a personality spectrum.
You're this kind of human or that. Yeah.
And so he had this kid that was awful. Awful to be around, and he just accepted it. There's nothing to be could be done, you know. And the kid is running around with the Nintendo, with the video games. It's all about video games. And I remember one time he was just freaking out, and he just jumped onto the couch, and he's just screaming into the couch cushion, like, as loud as he can. This kid's like 9. You know, like, I was chilling at 9.
I was thinking a toddler.
No,
bro.
Dude.
My
was
bad.
9 or 10. I was like, cool.
What?
Then I was cool at 10. I don't care what anybody says. But
catching a whooping in my house.
That's right.
Acting that way. Sorry.
Like, again, snatch that kid up. What are you doing? He would just take it.
Yeah.
Take it like a bitch, you know, from your kid.
Yeah.
From your kid, dude. You can
do so
much.
It's like raising a dog, man. Okay. I've seen people who are really bad at raising animals.
Right.
They'll raise a terrible dog. You know, but I've seen people, and I like to think I raise a good dog. You know,
it's
all about how you raise them.
Right.
You know, and humans are just like dogs at the end of the day. We're just animals. You know, we're a little smarter than dogs, some of us. But
hey, man, I feel that way too, man. Like with cats, I've met so many cats that are just bullshit ass cats. You know, oh, he runs the house and this and that. And like just. take a shit right on your carpet looking right at you and stuff. Like, my cats would never do that.
You're laying down on the job. You're laying down in the poop.
That's right. Like, my cats, I think they have a fear of me, and also, like, because of that, a love, and then there's also the food that I supply and this and that. My cats are, you know, they're A-plus cats when it comes to that type of stuff.
I called my cat in from the backyard like a dog.
Right.
He comes running.
T-loose.
But I mean, and one thing, like, going back to what peasants had to contend with, not having a screen shoved in their face when they're, like, 6 months, 6 days old.
Right.
You know?
Can we agree that the active screen usage could possibly turn up the knob on that 1 to 100 scale.
It certainly can take a weird person and make them weirder.
Otherwise, you put them out in the wilderness, or you take them out camping and you teach them how to build a fire and you teach them some real life stuff.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're not helpless anymore.
Right.
The craziest thing.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He can only play his Nintendos.
Yeah.
Oh, but he figured out every button on the Nintendo.
Right. Exactly.
Man. He figured out A, B, X, D, whatever the crap it is.
He's a whiz when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He can't eat carbon. Shove a steak in that kid's mouth right now. I don't care.
Right? He will figure it out if you allowed it.
Yeah.
But you probably are now handicapping this child mentally more than they were actually in the first place.
Definitely.
And the
truth of humans is that we're looking for easy answers to complicated problems. And, you know, look, a lot of folks had bad parenting. They end up being bad parents. And no matter how good they are, there's a lot of bad parents out there.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to admit that they're the cause of the problem.
Right.
You know, so what do? You admit something that's out, or you blame it on something that's out of your control.
Like right.
Easy. Asperger's
and you just submit to it immediately.
Man, it's convenient to that point. And maybe I think, you know, that Munchausen by proxy syndrome, you know, people get to have a little bit of that too. You know, you get a little sympathy because your kid, you know, because you can blame genetics or nature for why your kid is a terrible person.
Well, when does that become criminal? When does doing it because it's easy become criminal? Because like we were talking about, they threw me some Ritalin. Yes, it worked in the moment, but now we know. Had we changed the way we taught me to handle the day-to-day, I wouldn't have needed the in the overall. Now, there are plenty of kids that were in my 90s group that took Ritalin early on in this, that their livers failed or their kidneys failed or one of those failed and they died.
Right.
They're dead now. A lot of them. Because those body types didn't react to that medicine very well. I lucked out, obviously. Used it for many years.
That's just societal views, I guess. So, like, drug dealers are bad. I mean, unless it's a guy in a white lab coat, you know, you're paying astronomical amount to see him, you know, then it's fine. It's legitimate. Yeah.
We thought we were doing a good thing, but now we know that a lot of people died, but they didn't have to. They could have learned differently and been just fine without taking meds.
I haven't even heard of ADHD in a while or ADD.
Well, it's on the back burner now, you know.
So now it's autism.
Yeah.
You're just autistic. Yeah.
I think he's kind of
autistic.
That's a good point. Now, maybe.
I've never heard that.
Okay. Why do you go from hundreds of thousands to millions of diagnoses of ADHD in the 90s and early 2000s to now it's the Asperger's and the, you know, all of that that's getting diagnosed, and ADHD is way low again.
And when are we going to switch ADHD to autism and then, asshole. Like, let's just keep it with the A's. We'll keep it like that. So now we've actually figured out it's all bullshit. And maybe try and raise your kids right. It's illegal to have kids with their own screens until they're like 10 or something.
And if a child is non-functional, let's go deep into it. For whatever reason, maybe it's non-verbal, there's function is not there due to something.
Right.
Could it be Asperger's? Could it be all of the autism? I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
But what I'm saying is
nobody knows.
If we diagnose 100 kids today with autism on the spectrum from 1 to 100 or whatever it is, in 20 years, probably about 5 of those will actually have been non-functional autistic children.
Right.
Does that make sense? The rest of them are going to be on a spectrum. Oh, well, Tommy doesn't like, he only likes nuggets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Seriously. Yeah,
he turns like 18 and is like, you know what? Hey, I was kind of a stupid kid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
grew up, actually met a girl that liked him, so he came out of that.
That's a big thing.
He come out of that flat.
What is
I mean?
This generation going to look like, though?
It's crazy.
Like I'm hoping that happens for
I hope so, too.
But, like, what is this? The generation who is, like, currently 8 to 10 right now, what are they going to look like in 10 years? Like, that kid at GameStop, I'm here first. What is that kid ever going to contribute? Is he ever going to have a job?
Okay.
A girlfriend?
The 8 to 10, I don't know. Let's go even close. Let's go to 0 to 10 right now. Let's say, because he's raising a child that I believe is going to be on that other side.
Right.
That it's going to be
the classic side.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
The side that actually worked and got something done in this country.
The divide between those two sides are getting bigger. Is getting bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
a kid that doesn't have easy excuses for complicated issues.
Yeah,
you just you're going to have to work at it.
Yeah.
And there's a huge gap between the people that you're going to raise and the people that we're talking about that are raising.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they're going to want a government assistance for the rest of their life for their child because they were on government assistance.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? You'll teach your child to sustain life in the woods without any assistance from anybody.
Right. Yeah,
that is a different life.
Right.
People. Totally.
And I just don't when I went to school, there was like one kid or two kids, maybe three. Actually, I'm thinking about like three autistic kids or something in the school. And that's like, what is that? Because I meet a ton of them. Like, I just like most kids I come across are just freaking weird, man. They're weird kids.
And we're using the term autistic very broad too, in that sense,
right?
Sure,
right.
Because we're talking about mental. How would you say that?
Really,
today,
inability to deal with society,
and
like human relationships is what it all comes to. They don't know how to act in society or with other people, and it's like, because they haven't. Yeah, it's not like animals are just taught things; they're just born knowing everything. They have to see that from their peers, from their siblings.
Right.
They imprint that stuff off the things that they see at an early age. So if all they're imprinting is you binge watching Netflix till 2 o'clock in the morning, and eating terribly and being
and
a terrible person, and be like, leave me alone, I'm on Facebook right now.
Right.
What do you think? What do you think there is being imprinted on?
Oh, he has autism, he's weird.
It's like, you're weird and a bad parent.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
now you've made another generations of weird. And the best we can hope for is that your kid is so weird that the kid does not find a mate to reproduce with.
I read a great saying that goes along with what you just said. Your mood is a reflection of your daily habits, your wealth, and your weight. All reflections of your daily habits. And that's what you're saying right there. Now, in this sense,
the children
are watching parents, so they're learning those daily habits. But then they will ultimately have to take them on. So what daily habits base do they start with?
You're going to have to keep your daughter away from my dour fat ass. Like, just that.
Your dour poor fat ass.
Yeah, my dour poor fat ass. honey, your uncle is somebody you don't want to be like. If you are ever going to do an action, think about what he would do and do the exact opposite.
And you'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right, well, enough about this autism talk. We got a question.
Okay.
You guys want to go into the question real quick?
Let's do it.
This question is brought to you by Mountain Fork Brewery, Hochtown Distilling Company. Shout out to them and for making it all happen and making some amazing liquors and beer.
I spoke with Blue yesterday.
Yeah.
And he said, and I quote, the new liquor is coming out early November.
Ooh.
And he is ready for you guys, all of us, to do a tasting when the new bourbon comes out.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, and there comes a live regrettable episode at the bourbon tasting.
Ooh. Yes.
Ooh. Nice.
Yes.
I like that.
Making moves like a Sasquatch over here. What you got?
I just want to say just one more thing about this whole autism conversation. Yes, I guess we're attacking that whole culture of thinking. But to me, at the end of the day, it just takes credit away from parents who did a good job and who tried their best to raise well-rounded children. Folks like you, Jay, talk to your kids, they look you in the eyes, they can have a conversation with you. They're like normal people, That takes a lot of work to raise a normal kid in today's society. I think our parents, when you have all these parents out there that are they're looking for these easy answers, it's taking so much credit away from those parents who went and did everything they could to make sure that they were just going to have normal, well-rounded kids.
Right.
At the end of the day, I feel like that's
number one.
That's number one.
Exactly.
Right there.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
That's totally 100% agree.
Before looking for something wrong with your kid, try to be a well-rounded parent.
Yeah, yeah.
Just loves them and
right.
does the best for them.
Dude does stuff. does stuff. Your kids love going out to the deer camp and stuff like and just stuff, man. Just do stuff. You know, like
don't let Mario raise your child.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right. Yeah. Make Mario that thing that they want, like they want it, but don't always have it.
Yeah,
right.
That's totally fine. Do you remember when our parents would bring? They would so old. They would go and they'd rent the GameCast or whatever the GameCast,
yeah.
whatever it was, the GameCube,
the box station,
the box, yeah, the X station, and bring it home, and then they would play it.
Yes.
And like we had to sit there, but we were all cross-legged watching it like crazy. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I can understand if I just had it, like as a kid, I probably would have been a complete asshole. Instead, it was this thing I had to like wait for my turn, and I only got a little bit of time with it.
Yep.
And even if it meant days after, all I was thinking about was Mario. Man, I wish I could play Mario. Like I'm wishing. I'm still, I don't have it there in front of me. I can get what I need done.
You know what? But without knowing it, back then, your parents were limiting your screen time.
Right.
And they wasn't something they had to do because, like you said, the circumstances automatically limited your screen time.
Right.
Screen time. Had Laura and I not limited our boys and girls' screen time while they were playing Xbox because every single one of them had an Xbox in their own room.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So had we just allowed them to play whenever, they would have, you know what I mean? Does
right. that make She's sense? Saying it yeah. can't be done.
You exactly.
can't be done. You can juggle raising kids in a modern society with still raising them to be good people, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is getting increasingly tougher. And if I just mention one more point before we get to the question about, you know, should I buy flowers for my boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm going to be honest. If you're trying to raise your kids to be good people, you really have your work cut out
yeah.
for you in society. And
it's not easy, yeah.
And it's probably very difficult being a good person in our society nowadays. Man, living in the most... We live in such a decadent consumerist society. To try to live some kind of, I don't know, fulfilling life must, I don't know, it's got to be difficult. And I'm just bringing this up real quick because of these supply shortages we're seeing everywhere right now. And there's been some really great reporting that goes to show we're not in a supply shortage. We're in a demand surplus. The fact is that Americans are buying like crazy.
Yeah.
Right now, and like they never have before. I was reading one of these associations, just like retail marketer associations, was saying that spending for the first 9 months of 2021 is 15% over spending in 2020, which was 9% over the year before.
Right.
It's not like there was a big drop in 2020. It's been going up, and it's almost double what it was 2 years ago.
Say, that's 24%
like all online
in 2 years.
Yes, and wow. and people are just wanting to buy more and more shit. And now we're starting to realize that our economy is not based off Santa's magical toy factory.
Yeah,
you know that there's actually like limitations that we yeah. live in a finite world, and we are absolutely struggling to
realize
that. Why is
my new iPhone here? While like that kid in the factory is getting whipped harder. Like we have
yeah.
unbelievable demand right now. I need to double my child labor. I need to get a whip with some. I need to get a cat of nine tails. Screw the whip.
Thanks, Joe Biden.
Yeah, I'm gonna dip it in brine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll sting harder.
Yeah. I mean, you said, honestly, the only thing that could really help the situation right now is massive power outages in China that
yeah.
shut down their factories over there.
Right, right.
You know, because when I say that there's this huge surplus in demand from Americans, it's easily quantifiable. The simple fact, you look at, there's like an association that it's like an industry specialist group that looks that deals with warehouse owners on the coast. Dude, every warehouse is absolutely full with inventory right now. They can't get it to the stores fast enough. The ships, part of the reason the ships can't unload in ports right now is because the warehouses that would hold those containers are already full
Man.
With stuff.
Really?
I mean, we are spending like absolute crazy. And you know what our society's answer is right now is hoarding,
yeah,
which just exacerbates the situation. And you know what retailers are doing? Bringing Black Friday specials earlier than ever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way we're going to fix this. Just spend more earlier.
I was watching a video last night which brought me to the whole DIY videos on YouTube, and it was this guy, and he's like, I'm going to show you kind of just some of the good components to get a good starter building computer going. I know what to buy, I know what to get, but I was just watching this video. It's from a year ago, and he's like, and let me say this, with the 2020, you know, with the COVID crisis and everything, you know, there's people who might actually really need computers, and then there's, you know, our postage and everything, mailing is all getting blocked up, so you should really ask yourself if you really need this type of stuff. Anyway, let's get into the video on what you need, and like, yes. And then we're right into it. Like, he could have just made
a little
it the
lip
video
service.
Yeah. He could have done something integrity while like being like, I was gonna make a video on what to show you, but
that's,
you know,
not what we want.
That's not what we want right now. You know, we everybody needs to. And then no, it was like the most 30 seconds. Like, yeah, because of the shortage, you probably shouldn't order something unless you need it. Anyway. Let's get into it. Yeah. You know,
that's what big retailers are like pleading with people right now. If you're going to do ordering, try to get multiple orders at the same time.
Oh,
you
no,
multiple things.
What?
Yeah, that what? Yeah, absolutely. And this 2 day. I order it 2 days later. I have it in my hands mentality. I mean, right. we never asked if we were too busy asking if we could. We never asked ourselves if we should.
Yeah.
And here we are with in this like a crippling global. You know, I hate to call it a supply shortage. There are legitimate supply shortages, microchip stuff like that. But we're just simply a lot of people have a lot of money in their pockets right now. I think we all do. We can all kind of, we're all on the same page on that, is that we probably had more money than we did a couple of years ago through stimuluses, a little bit of higher wages going on. I mean, the economy is redlining.
One
right
of these
now
is not like the other.
You got that bonus.
But I
that
got,
big
yeah,
bonus.
Yeah, I do yeah, have more money. It's just
got
inconsequential.
Yeah, I mean, but as far as, and maybe it was exacerbated with COVID-19 too, is like all of a sudden we weren't able to spend our money on experiences anymore. You couldn't go nowhere. So what do? We take our surplus money and we buy crap with it. And we're not, a lot of folks aren't ever going to break that habit. There's a lot of people who just have no, who aren't interested in leaving and going and doing anything. They just want more and more crap.
Speaking of crap, crazy. I'm now up to 24 million Shiba Inu.
It's like $5. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of what somebody else bought, here's the question. I bought a sex toy and my boyfriend's upset. So this is a female, I hope. We've been dating for 5 months. 1 month ago, he temporarily moved across the country for a season job. I decided to buy a toy to keep myself company until he gets back. He previously told me he thought it would be hot to use a vibrator on me in bed. At first, he told me that he's proud that I'm discovering and learning my own body. I mean, he even named the toy. But today, he sent me a text that I should have asked him if he was okay with buying it first.
Oh, it's been eating away at him, huh?
Yeah. He said it made him feel insecure because he wasn't able to do the same thing, and you wouldn't be interested in having sex with me, but I wouldn't see him in a month. Of course, I want to have sex with him. I think it's just weird that I have to run something like that by him before my purchase. What do y'all think? Well, first of all, you should, in my opinion.
You should what?
You should maybe run it by. Not even asking. Not even asking. Just let him know. Let him know. Because look at the terminology. Look at the words you used. To keep myself company.
Yeah.
You said keep myself company.
Point. Good point.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, what are and which
he's
way
just
are you?
He's just a walking sex toy to you, then, I guess.
Right.
Good point.
Now, I'm not trying to say you need to run purchases by your boyfriend always, but this is intimate. And even if he did express feeling, I'm sure he would have been cool with the courtesy of being like, hey, I'm going to order something, you know, like maybe just to keep myself a little occupied until you got back. Keep myself company. You know, now is a big black double donger. Like, which one is it? Like, I mean, it can make a man feel a little insecure, maybe.
Yeah, and you get one of those that like spins at 1,000 RPM. I mean, a human tongue or a penis cannot keep up with that. Like, it says he, and that's to credit both of them. Okay, so yes, maybe by getting one of these sex toys, you can feel sensations that are otherwise humanly impossible.
Yes,
and that's not a bad thing. But also, this guy should also know he's all like, well, it does things that I can't do. Well, yeah, that's
the point
for him. They enjoy that part of it, too, so, man.
The other reason I think
you just get to sit back, man.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I think that she maybe should have run it by him is because guys don't have that equivalent toy. They do not. Women can use a cucumber and be cool. Yeah. Like, a guy has to either fashion something insane... or they have to buy something even more insane. You're buying a fleshy pocket
to put your penis in.
To insert your penis like that
penis
is
pocket.
So like, would you want to be notified? Like
before
if you
bought a penis
before
pocket?
You bought a penis pocket, I think the woman would maybe want to be notified yeah. before you bought this thing that's like I bought it to feel exactly like Halle Berry's. You know, like they took a mold of hers or something and now
pocket
I'm buying
vagina, it. That's what they
There you go. Pocket you know, like that's a weird one. And then it's like and the guy and I honestly if you use one, I think it's going to be weird. Like yeah, I don't want to hear about you using one. It's one that you have to like disassemble and clean.
Ew.
From
you
what
better.
I understand, you better.
I hope you would.
Like that's our version. That's our version, you know? Like so I think the woman would want to be notified if I was to buy the equivalent of her buying a sex toy. I think sex toys, I mean you should be as open about sex as possible. Therefore, I mean you should, you know, but I don't know. She's making it seem like he was wanting to be asked. I don't agree with that.
Right.
Just let him know, like, hey, I ordered something today.
I think I think you're right. Go ahead. I was going to say, I think you're right in the sense of if it was my wife, she probably would have thrown it by, hey, I'm probably going to buy something, you know.
Right.
You know,
for on your business trip when you're gone for a month.
And it only turns negative when you get back and she chooses to use that over you.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
You like finish up. She's like, all right, champ, go ahead. You know, like, and you're like, okay, I'm going to go downstairs or something, make something to eat. And it's just, like, you hear
then,
that.
Then you've had a problem your whole marriage.
That's right. That's right.
Or relationship because you haven't been satisfying your, so you better be thankful for that thing.
Right.
Like, my hope is that they haven't just been together like 2 months. Or
right.
Something.
Five months.
Yeah.
5 months?
Five months.
Ooh.
You okay. see, again, all of this is adding up in my brain to, like, you should probably just talk to your boyfriend about using a sex toy.
Right.
I mean, it's sexy. It should be open as possible and this and that. And, like,
I guess,
and also, like, maybe send him a picture of it. Like, if it's one of those little, like, keychain right. vibrators
yeah,
or something, yeah. then he'd be like, ah, wow. But, you know.
Yeah, if it's this sure. microphone, I can see what.
I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what if you were like, okay, yeah, babe, yeah, go and get you that sex. And you come home and imagine it's this fist.
Yeah.
Like, on the end of a,
it's
you
like
know.
Like a dragon dick.
Yeah.
You'll never. Yeah. I can't. We might have to reevaluate
dude,
the terms of this relationship.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's going to be goodness. Issues there. I'm not cool with a dragon dick, man.
Yeah.
I'm not cool with that. That was ribbed and scaled for her pleasure.
Yeah.
No,
it was like
not.
6 feet long. Yeah. It's like.
What are you into?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I got no interest in that.
Yeah. Goodness. Absolutely. You know, you could, or like, if
but a little,
just,
yeah, a little modest thing.
A little
yeah.
modest thing,
yeah. It just
sure.
adds a little dimension, you know,
right.
to it. And like I said, especially, it's, like I said, it's probably one of those things you want to introduce as early on in
yes.
a non-marital relationship.
Right.
But then if you're fine with, if you guys are, you know, fully satisfying each other
mm-hmm.
with what God gave you, then awesome.
Right.
But at some point in a long-term relationship, that probably is not a bad conversation to have.
No.
Or maybe a nice surprise to throw out too, you
right,
know,
right.
just to keep things a little fresh.
A little fresh,
yeah. But
the thing is that it's all. I imagine it's expected on the guy to bust out. Hey, look what I picked up at the place, little vibrator for you, you know, and you can use that.
That's a rough thing to ask a guy to
I
do.
I know.
Oh, you think? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe
okay.
Maybe a cock ring.
Because
all right, let me
gotta,
rephrase
you gotta
it.
Do as well. Yeah, me and my wife are trying to add some things to
sure
it. Yeah, oh, sure. I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
And,
okay, so.
Get a big old one, huh?
Yeah. Okay, so it's the woman that picks it up and says, here you go. Why don't you use this thing on me or something like that? And he's like, all right, cool. You know, this seems fun, fresh. You know, like you're going to pick up a pocket vagina and hand that to her and be like, why don't you use this weird freaking thing on me?
Yeah,
like, that's not cool.
Doesn't work
the other way. No. So that there should be a conversation. There should be this. And you also have to understand that your boyfriend is a man. So he has an ego
mm-hmm.
and it is fragile. Like all
yes.
men. Like Patrick doesn't want to hire a plumber. He wants to fix it himself. And when Caitlin suggests it, it cracks his ego.
Yes.
All right.
What cracks my ego?
I don't know. I really don't know. But like, because you're cool with saying, oh yeah, she's the breadwinner. She's got, so I don't know. You might've worked it out.
Took a while.
You figured it out. But like, if you buy it and it's half an inch shorter, he could be like, yeah, I still crush that piece of machinery you got. No worries. But if it's a half inch bigger, there's going to be issues with that man's ego. Guaranteed.
Yep.
No matter how, he could be having an 11-1 and you get a 12-incher.
Right.
And he's like,
why'd you get the 12?
What the heck? Like,
right.
and now he's like, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
I need another inch. on top of the 11.
I know, right?
And men can't always outperform machines, okay? We got the famous story. What was it? Henry or Tom Henry or whatever that was fighting the steam railroad spike driver, you know, when it used, because all those used to be driven by a man. Then somebody invented the machine to do it, and he beat the machine in that famous story. He drove more spikes into the railroad tracks than the machine did, but he died afterwards. Okay, it's like
he got drove into it by a machine. He got spiked.
It's, and if you're buying this to in hopes that your husband maybe is going to perform better, maybe he will one time, and he'll die afterwards. Okay,
have a heart attack right
on you. Ask him for trouble.
Beat the machine.
It's the last thing he ever did.
He added in him one time.
Yes,
yeah. These damn machines taking our jobs, man. It's crazy.
Toby Keith sang that song. Yeah. I ain't as good as I once was. Yeah. But I'm as good once as I ever was.
And, I mean, one thing to women's credit here, as far as, you know, why a guy should not get a little pocket badge to introduce into the relationship is, dudes are easy. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
It does not take much work. You probably don't even have to take my pants off, you know, to get me off. Yeah. You know, you don't even have to unzip or unbuckle nothing. Yeah. A woman, it's there's a little work involved.
Dude,
there's
you gotta finesse. Lay them out. You gotta mentally prepare them. Yeah. You gotta get in your safe space. You know, you know, you're just in a flowing in a chocolate river. Like, you know, a woman that really knows herself.
Yeah.
She's gonna be like, no, to the left, exactly. No, 3 degrees up. No, like, you know,
right.
Like these coordinates for her.
You're like trying to remember your trigonometry class, you know?
You're busting out some kind of tool to, you know, figure out
the compass.
There's nooks, there's crannies. It's a freaking, you got a miner's helmet on. Yeah. You're freaking.
Is it geocache I'm looking for?
Yeah, like a poncho at some point, you know?
Yeah.
But like, there's finesse involved.
There's definite finesse.
True. So sometimes a little assistance, you know, as a guy, you should be cool at some point. Now, like I said, she went about it, if to take her at face value here, she went about it, I'm sorry, but the wrong way.
I kind of agree.
Like, this is a replacement for you while you're gone. It's an aid in battle. It's not a replacement. Yeah. You're not getting a bunch of ringers for the team now.
Right,
you know,
right,
it's just a little something to help the team get the next win.
Yeah, because why not just get a pinch hitter? Be like, hey, I'm bringing home Jamal tonight.
You know?
Yeah, I was gonna say,
help you out there, champ.
You got your hand, just like we got our hand.
Right.
Ultimately.
And that's the other thing.
It's not going to be as good as the real thing.
Right.
But that's all.
She brings that up later in the email about, well, he can jerk off and this and that. Well, so can you.
Yes.
You don't get the toy. But she does get the toy.
She can, totally.
She does get the, I'm absolutely totally fine. But again, you have to go about it. If you love the guy, then you go about it in the right way. If you're an asshole, you just be like, yeah, check it out what I got. You know, named him, you know.
John 2.
Yeah,
A true man should be able to appreciate the capability that a tool provides you. I mean, yes, we can cut 2x4s with our teeth if we give it enough time.
That's right.
I mean, if we really chew on a board, we can probably cut it in half. Or you can use a circular saw do the job at in a fraction of the time.
Right,
all right. So he should also be welcoming of the additional power that this tool will provide. Yeah. It is a tool after all.
Right.
It's a toy, sure, but it's also a tool.
Right. If he says no, then he's wrong. But at the same time, like, if he says yes, but there's some guidelines, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Nothing bigger than me.
Okay.
All right.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Why not?
No big dragon dick. All right. You know, and like, I want to see it, smell it, taste it.
Okay, too far.
Yeah.
Just a little diplomacy on both sides.
That's right. It's a relationship here. What have we always said during these? It's all compromise. It's this and that. You can't just go out and get the man, you know, or whatever, get that, bring that home, and he's going to be happy with it.
Maybe it was the whole thought process of, I'm going to get it before I even tell you, ultimately.
Right.
I think looking back at it, he thought, even 5 months in, she was thinking of what was going to make her happy first. Oh, I better tell him about it.
Right.
Versus now, you know, now 7 months, however long they are now, you know, he's realizing, wait, well, she was thinking of herself. She didn't have me. I was a secondary thought in that situation.
Right.
So
Yeah, I mean, it's like some kind of dual purpose thing or something. I don't know if there's like a dual purpose toy out there.
Held that, spare change. And
yeah. Well, then maybe it could satisfy both individuals. You know, okay. So everyone can meet in the middle. Kind of like getting a transvestite hooker or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That.
Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah. Let's get married.
Yeah. Finally. All right. Well, on all that great talk. We're going to go ahead and end it there. A big shout out to Laura Lindley, attorney at law. A big shout out to Mountain Fork Brewery. And, of course, the Broken Tiki. Regrettable Cruise 2. There's still some tickets available. I'm not sure how many. I haven't checked in a few days.
I looked at this morning and it was still 11.
Still 11 tickets left. So the 30th, we're going to be going on Broken Bow Lake to enjoy. And you can come with us and enjoy all of this great talk that we've already had today. So that's how it's going to go. Shout out to everybody. Everybody, and we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks, y'all.
Awesome.
Bye.
Peace.